Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And we're going to have a conversation today between me and a guest who in many ways is like me. So in a sense, we're talking to ourselves and talking to each other. And it'll be, I think, a fascinating conversation for the audience, because my guest is a man named Paul Selig, who is a known, well-known intuitive and has a lot of wisdom that he imparts. And I've asked him to be on the show because I'm fascinated with other people who can also be intuitive. And it's lonely out there when you're seen as such a strange person and have to deal with the world in a unique way of, you know, I am a professional intuitive, and a lot of people don't know how to hold that, and they don't quite know who I am, what I am, and sometimes I don't even know. And so I asked Paul to be here so he could give us his understandings, and we'll talk about how it works and how it might not work and what's up. So what's up, Paul?
Good morning. Thank you for having me
here.
Yeah,
please talk closer to the mic if you can. Okay. Thanks. Yeah, and you might raise it a little bit. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Great. All right. So so I'm fascinated by you. You're this intuitive.
That's a word I'm getting comfortable with. You know, I'm not that comfortable calling myself a psychic. I think I'm okay with intuitive. Mostly I just tell people that I hear. You know, I hear and I feel. Sometimes I see. And for some reason, when I'm doing this stuff, information comes through me that seems to be of help to people. But, you know, I didn't call myself an intuitive until the last few years. I called myself a channel because I didn't have another word for what I was doing. And then occasionally I began to call myself a medium because it was easier for other people, and what I do seems to be mediumistic. But it's something that seems to happen. So I don't label it a lot either.
Well, you and I are conscious mediums. We don't go into a trance, although we certainly have to be in a peaceful state of mind to be able to sensitize ourselves to what comes through. And then, so the medium part is really that we're in between. We're in between other consciousness and the people we're talking to. And what does that mean? What does other consciousness mean?
I don't ask myself that, you know. It's a funny thing. I know what I'm doing while I'm doing it. It's really that immediate. I mean, I was doing a reading last week, and the guy sat down. He said, well, don't be nervous. And I said, I'm not nervous. And all of a sudden, all of this energy was coming through me. I was rocking around in the chair. My body was being used to gesture and to give information that was coming out of my mouth. And I was kind of fascinated the whole time because it's not what I was expecting to happen, but it never is. It's something that I experience in the moment. You know, I was a writer for years, and I always felt like, you know, well, I'm only a writer when I'm writing. And I actually feel like I'm only a medium when I'm engaged in doing the work.
Right, and a lot of people don't understand that. You know, there are people who are afraid to get near me because they're afraid of what I'm picking up about them.
Yeah.
And I'm not, you know, not until I plug in.
Exactly.
And until I'm interested in tapping into a higher consciousness, I'm just, you know, plain old.
I feel the same way, you know, and it's funny because I've been getting, you know, Facebook requests from friends I went to college with, and then they get to my page and they see what I'm doing, and there's a silence at the other end. It's not what I expected to be doing with my time, you know, but I'm so interested in the work as it comes through. I mean, I'm a student of the work, you know. I don't understand. I get it. I mean, I get it. When I hear the information and it resonates as true, I know that. But I'm not pulling information that's necessarily from my own frame of reference. So I'm a student of what comes through, too, and that's why I'm so interested.
You know, I do sessions with people, and all these great truths come through that I'm not expecting, but of course I'm glad they are because I'm trying to help somebody. And often I have to say to myself, Peter, pay attention, listen to this, because it's for you too. Because we're being taught at the same time. It's not that we are as wise as we look because of what comes through us, we are learning from it as it comes through, and it does make us wise only because we've heard it, not because we've made it up, because you and I know that we're not making up. We don't have any idea as it comes through what we're going to hear, and it's fascinating.
It's fascinating. You know, I met a woman recently, and she said, you know, what an act of trust just to sit down. And, you know, when you sit down in front of a room, when I do a group and there's 100 people in the room or there's 60 people in the room, I mean, you know, my job, and I get told this a lot because I get nervous before a group, and the guides say, you know, your job is to sit in the chair, you know, and we're going to work. And if I can do that, that's great. You know, when I try to get in the way and think I'm supposed to know more is when I'm in trouble.
Well, it's interesting that your technique is a little different than mine, mm-hmm. because I really have to focus and hear what I'm about to say. Mm-hmm. And so my mind has to kind of chew it. Mm-hmm. And then it comes out, but it comes out very naturally because mm-hmm. I'm amazed about what I'm hearing. Mm-hmm. And then I have the courage to tell people, this is what I'm hearing about you. And I speak it. Mm-hmm. And I have no idea why I'm saying what I'm saying yeah. because it's not like I should know that. Mm-hmm. But it I've heard it. It's in my head. I'm being told it and sometimes shown it. And then I share that, and people go, oh, how did you know? Yeah. Oh my gosh! And you know, it's amazing the quality of the information. You know, mm-hmm. it's 'cause there's a lot of data that comes through that you and I don't know, mm-hmm. but the other people know
exactly.
So when we're giving them data that they know and they know we don't know, and yet now we know it, mm-hmm. where'd it come from? And you know, I've had people accuse me of hiring private detectives uh-huh. and you know, somehow doing investigative work of them mm-hmm. just so I can spend a little time with them, make a few bucks. Mm-hmm. So I'm hiring a whole team of yes. investigators to prepare me for that one little time where I might earn a few bucks. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense.
So, but people's minds have to figure it out. And I know that you try to teach the spirits that work with mm-hmm. you, the consciousness that works with you, tries to teach an understanding of that. Mm-hmm. And I've always, for many, many years, I've had a school and I've taught about as much as I can understand how it works. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot that our simple minds can't comprehend yeah. anyway because it's beyond any logic that mm-hmm. that we know.
Yeah, my guides say they're teachers. I mean, when I work psychically, I access information much, I think, like you do, which is, you know, I get the information and then I'll have to interpret it or say it. And when I'm channeling, I'm working pretty directly. And when the guides are channeling, they're often teaching. And I don't know what's coming out until it is coming out of my mouth. And I have this odd technique, which is I whisper the words as I hear them. I mean, they form at my lips as I'm hearing them, and I repeat them usually in a louder voice so that the people in, you know, across the room can hear. But it also gives me a sense of control, you know, I think, that I don't necessarily get when I'm channeling directly, because it happens once in a while, and it's a bit like, you know, being on a boat at sea, you know, and you just feel the energy moving through you, and it's sort of carrying, you know, out of the voice.
Well, when you're in that space, it's a magical space
it
to
is.
Be in,
mm-hmm.
and for people who haven't had those experiences, it is otherworldly.
Yeah,
and we know that we're not just ourselves.
Exactly,
we're working with, let's call it a community, mm-hmm. or something out there, and we don't know if it's out there, in there, where, you know, it's all a hologram, mm-hmm. and yet it shows up. So what shows up is information that our mind isn't deducing.
Yes.
You know, you're I think you're a professor.
Yeah, I teach college. I have this whole other yeah. life.
Right. So your mind is a very intelligent mind, mm-hmm. and it you've had experiences to doubt, and you know you have to doubt.
Sure.
and to try to understand things in a very grounded way. And here you're being shown that our minds are very limited because there's a consciousness that can come through that knows so much more than our minds can deduce.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I was raised pretty much an atheist, and I needed, when I began to open up, an experience of phenomena in order to believe. And I was given that. I was given the ability to feel energy first. That's the first thing that happened. And see. I used to start seeing lights around people. I didn't know what was going on there. And then I began to hear. And it was a real process for me of trust, and it continues to be, a process of trusting. But I don't get too caught up in the rational mind anymore when I work. I mean, I realized a while ago that the information that's coming through me when I'm working with a client is not for me, it's for them. And if I try to figure that out, I'm probably getting in the way. So my job is to be present.
That's right, and it's there are a lot of automatic things that we do in life that if we try to be conscious of it, we do get in our own way.
Yeah,
and so this is one of those things that we surrender to.
Exactly,
and it's hard when you are skeptical and critical because you certainly don't want to be a fool.
Yeah. Yeah, I came out, I was working pretty under the covers for a long time. I did a group in my apartment every week, and I would see people that wanted to come. And then my guides, channeled a book through me a couple of years ago. I mean, they just dictated an entire, 300-page manuscript in about 2.5 weeks that was then published. So I've had to become a bit more public with the work and with talking about the work. And that was pretty odd for me, and it continues to be. It's exciting to have to claim that part of myself publicly, but I was very resistant.
Well, when you have a book, it's a very solid thing, right?
Yeah.
And people look at that and they say, how did you figure all this out?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to say to them, I have no idea how it got on paper other than I wrote it, but my mind certainly wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, I didn't even write it. I dictated the whole thing. The whole thing was a transcript of an oral teaching. So I literally sat there every morning with a speakerphone in my lap. I had a woman in Berkeley who was transcribing, and I had a CD recorder, and I had the dog, and I closed my eyes, and they just deliver, a chapter a day, pretty much that for about 2.5 weeks. And then it was typed, and that's the book.
Yeah, this is happening a lot. I have a friend who is also doing that kind of book writing, she has, but the people writing through her, includes Walt Whitman. It's like, she's writing a lot of poetry, and yet it's like you that she has no responsibility in what is put on the paper. She's being dictated to.
Exactly right. Yeah.
And it's hard for a normal person to comprehend that.
When I did it, I was at a funny place in my life. I had, I just sort of didn't care what came out. So I was liberated. I had the time. And I had the challenge. I mean, my friend Victoria Nelson, had called me from Berkeley and said, maybe it's time to write your memoir about how you evolved as a clairaudient. And I was like, okay, maybe. And my guides piped in and said, no, we have a book to write. And if you set a meeting, we'll start, 2 days later. And that was it. So it was really a challenge. And I kept thinking, the rule here is that I can't change anything. So if something comes out that makes no sense, and I don't know about the different levels of the auric field, this is stuff I don't know about. So if they're going to talk about this, somebody else better look at this thing and say whether it's accurate, because I have no idea. And that was the whole book.
Well, what we're talking about here is something remarkably present in the universe that very few people know and understand, is that there is a greater consciousness. Religions are based on hierarchical orders and commands and rules, and they think that what's out there is that's what's out there.
Yeah.
And yet, what we're finding is out there is a great intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
A very loving, caring, and knowing intelligence that wants to help.
Yes.
And that is glad to have vehicles like us to work through to help people know things that You know, one of the things that happens when I do sessions with people is that I can give them information that I shouldn't have about their lives, but I do have because it's in the ethers.
Yes.
And no matter what I say, it's beyond that, I'm teaching them something about reality. Because how should I know what only they know?
Yeah.
And so that must mean something.
Yeah, I look at it the same way. I mean, somebody can come to me for a reading that they think is about, you know, their finances or, you know, their boss, but they're getting another experience concurrent with that information. And, you know, I have this odd ability empathically. So if somebody wants to know what's going on with their boss, they give me their boss's name, and then I sort of step into the energy field of the boss, and I begin to resemble the boss.
Uh-huh.
And so they sit there, and suddenly they're looking at their boss across the room, and, which helps them validate the information. It helps me when they say, yes, that's the face, and that's the mannerism. But what they're getting, I think, beyond the information is an understanding that we're all connected, because this is all energy. You know, when I'm stepping into somebody else's frequency, and I'm pretty much disproving the fact that that consciousness is localized and that it is stuck in the body. You know,
right.
So there's an opening that's there.
Often, well, I do a lot, and probably you do too, a lot of sessions on the phone. I have maybe 80% of my work is on the phone with people all around the world. And somebody in Rio might ask me about somebody in New Delhi.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to travel to New Delhi or to Rio. I can be on the phone with Rio and climb into the mechanics, the personality, the story of this person in New Delhi,
exactly.
And understand what their issues are and where they're coming from. And it's amazing that we can be everywhere.
I think so, too. And I used to think that I was traveling. I mean, I used to think, you know, I was going to China if somebody was. And I met a physicist who says, no, you're not. You're just going in.
Yes.
You're not going out. You're going in.
Quantum reality.
Yeah, yeah.
It's you know, it's fascinating. And I guess, you know, I'm humbled by having been chosen,
mm-hmm.
and you too. That we represent a new consciousness, a new understanding on this planet, that I hope everybody can be like us in the near future.
I think they can be. I mean, my guides teach that, you know. I mean, we've simply forgotten who we are. And I think one of the things that they talk about a lot now is the responsibility for raising consciousness and raising our frequency in order to be able to access information. And that we have the ability, we have to ask for it. And people don't know they can ask for it and that they can choose it.
That's why I teach, because I believe that we all can choose it.
Mm-hmm.
And I also teach tools to tap in with. There are a lot of empowerments. There are a lot of ways that we can learn to shift.
Uh-huh.
And I did. I mean, I think, you know, you and I were obviously born to want to do this and to be open to it, mm-hmm. so that it worked for us.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of people I've taught who just come and go and doesn't work for them because they're not ready for it, or it's too threatening. You know, and yet there are people who've embraced it, and a lot of my students have gone on to become professional intuitives.
Wonderful.
Themselves.
Wonderful. See, I don't teach. My guides teach. I mean, they do workshops and things like that, and they'll talk about this stuff. And I, as Paul, you know, who hears things, can only sort of relay what my own experience has been. But I do know that if it can start to happen for me, and later in life, really, I think it can happen for other people as well.
I was over 50 when I started to really notice, and not that I hadn't been intuitive before, but I wasn't aware of it. It was working in ways that I was just fascinated, but I didn't know what to call it, and I wasn't purposely using it. It just showed up.
Yeah. I mean, the idea of being a radio makes a lot of sense to me, and my guides talk about that a lot.
That our brain is a radio.
Well,
like a radio.
Yeah, they say it's up to us what station we tune into. You know, what do we want to broadcast, and that's really our call.
Exactly, and I think the ability just to know that you have that choice is half the battle.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. You know, it's so fascinating. I mean, I love my life. I just, you know, it's not easy because, you know, we do have to present ourselves in the world in ways that people aren't used to.
Yeah.
But there is a purpose to it that we can appreciate greatly.
Yeah, I'm you know, as I'm coming out with it more and I'm enjoying it a lot more, and I used to really keep a very separate life. My academic life was my academic life, and, you know, my life as a psychic was something different. And finally, it's all about integration, and I think being as expressed and as present as I can possibly be in all ways. And then I'm happy. Then it's okay.
You know, I've also kind of tried to compartmentalize.
Mm-hmm.
And recently, there are a lot of people who I don't think have any idea of my intuitive nature. And then sometimes it comes out in conversation. People will say, "Oh, we knew about you,"
uh-huh.
You know, because word gets around, not because they guessed it or anything,
yeah.
But it's just that we have a reputation and people talk, and so we can't hide out anymore.
I think so. I used to be pretty impatient. I'm not a good New Ager, you know, and I was never that good at being tolerant, you know, in my early days with this stuff, because I was, you know, I was sort of this rock and roll guy, and I, you know, liked to smoke cigarettes, and I was, you know, and what I deal with now is the reality that people think this is completely flaky, and, you know, I can accept that they think that way, but I'm not, and you're not, you know, and we're just sort of here doing our work, and we're having this other experience of knowing, and it really is about knowing.
It is, and it's, but it does take something in terms of acceptance that a lot of people don't have. You know, you obviously were forced to be open-minded.
Yeah. And for me, it's been a process of surrendering to that. And I was also very hungry for it. And I think every ability that's come forth, in a way, I've asked for. I mean, I was sensitive when I was a kid, and I had psychic experiences as a kid, but I don't know if they were that extraordinary. And once I began to open up, and I mean, really, once there was a chink in the armor that even these kinds of things were possible, it was a process, and it couldn't seal the crack back up.
You
no
couldn't go back.
You
right.
couldn't do it.
Right. Yeah, we're in it.
Yeah.
And it's a commitment. Now, I want to ask you to do something that I've heard you do on Alan Steinfeld's show.
Sure.
He was my guest last week on the show. And I know that, as you said earlier, you know, sometimes these guides will speak first and then you, you know, address that. And are any of your guides interested in saying hello?
I don't see why not. I mean, I think, you know, yes, I get it. That's a yes.
Okay. Because it's a whisper, and you know, we don't have to do too much of it, but I'd like the audience just to have a sense of what you're experiencing and what they might experience with you.
Sure. You know, it's the easiest thing to for me to work with questions. I mean, I can just go into
channel.
I was
just thinking that because very often that's how I work with purpose, with an intention. But then often at the end of a session, people say, "Well, just what does the universe have to say in general?"
Oh yeah,
and that always I like that because I never know what I'm going to hear, but it definitely is ungrounded.
Yeah.
So, how much? To your spirits, how far-reaching is Paul's work going to be in the near future?
They're saying as big as it can be, given who he is, and as he chooses. They're saying, and as he chooses to acknowledge his ability, the work will accelerate, and this has to be a process. And this has to be a process of calling in frequency and holding it in order to manifest the teachings that can come through. The desire to serve is decision, and once decision is made, that can become more. It can be, in other words, congruent with choice and manifestation. So the desire we have to teach through him. Is realized by his frequency. They're saying an acceleration period.
Very good. Now, see, what's interesting is that they certainly were clear, that it's an evolving process, and you have to choose also how big you want to be with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's understandable, because we can only be as big as we're designed to be. And some of us just need to work more focused in the groups that are more open to us, rather than trying to be big egos and get it out into millions and millions of people. Mm-hmm. That's a different kind of personality.
They're saying it's choice as much as anything else.
Right, but you choose not to be a big ego.
Well, this is just Paul, but I'm not invested at the moment in the idea of celebrity.
Right, exactly. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
And that's what I don't see you wanting to do that.
But I do want to do the work, and I do.
Yes.
And I realize, you know, the more I'm willing to step out and do the work. I'm going to Berkeley tomorrow, and I'm doing, you know, groups all over.
Right, no, big is good, because you have a lot to say. I'm just talking about, I guess we're talking about how the manifesting process works with your personality.
Choice. And they're saying to me again, choice, choice, choice.
As exactly.
He decides he can do it, we do it with him. As he decides he can do it, we do it with him. And
right.
That's the choice. And that is the choice.
Right, and I think it's great for you to have, I'm not talking about only keeping small audiences,
yeah.
But what I mean is that you're not pushing yourself to, you know, you're surrendered. You're doing, even though you're choosing, it has to all make sense to you.
But they've told me recently in groups, because the only time they can get like a real audience with me, you know, directly is when somebody else is asking questions.
Sure.
Or when I'm doing a group, you know, and I sort of can't shut up, because I can't change the channel if I don't like what I'm being told, which is what I do when I'm making breakfast, you know, and I start to get information I don't want to hear. But they pretty much said to me, you know, I have to choose to serve every day. I mean, that's it. Just decide
right.
to serve, and then
right.
it's available.
It'll be what it is.
Yeah, and
you
I'm
know.
Okay with that.
Yeah, and it is great, but I do appreciate, you know, the humbleness that you come from, and I know that you have a lot of important things to teach, and it'll reach the people who it needs to.
I hope so. Thank you. You know, I they say so. I mean, they said so about the book, and I didn't believe when the book was coming through that, you know, people would ever read it.
And we're running
mm-hmm.
near the end of the show.
Sure.
Tell us about this book.
The book is called I Am the Word. That's the title, I Am the Word, A Guide to the Consciousness of Man's Self in a Transitioning Time, which is a mouthful, but it's called I Am the Word. It's published by Tarcher Penguin. It's available on Amazon and in bookstores. And really what it is, I think, is in some ways a guidebook for manifesting Christ consciousness, or what they call Christ consciousness, which is higher frequency. In the book, which I think is really interesting, they say is an energetic transmission, more than the words on the page, which is one way of experiencing
that's
the book.
Good.
It's
and
also
I would
download.
Think, yes, I would think that reading the book, because I've read some parts of it that mm-hmm. have been available, that it is enlightening.
I hope so.
Yes.
You know, I hope so.
And I think it would be very valuable for people to learn about. So how do people reach you?
PaulSelig.com is my website.
S-E-L-I-G.
PaulSelig.com.
That's great.
Uh-huh.
And you do travel, you do teach.
Yeah,
so
I see clients in the city. I work by phone. I do, weekend workshops. I'm doing my first retreat up at Earthgate in Pennsylvania this summer. I'm getting more out there with the work. I'm actually on sabbatical from one of my teaching jobs right now. So, you know, I'm able to be a bit more public and a bit more visible with the work.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously a half an hour isn't long enough for this kind of discussion. We're just kind of touching on things that we could really climb into a lot more. But I'm so grateful that you could join me this morning. And Paul Selig, thank you so much for being a guest on Energy Stew.
Thank you for having me. This was great. Thank you.
Thank you. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at Progressive Radio Network. And I can be reached at Peter at HeartRiver, HEART, river.org. And thank you so much for listening.